So the first foster parent or foster parents that we read, that I'm going to talk about, is the high priest Jehoiada and his wife Jehosheba. Sabah, whatever, I don't know. You're going to have to give me leadway on these names here today. But what they did is they fostered King Joash. And it's written down there. I put the places where you can look at it. But if you just listen to the story, that'd probably be just as good. We pick up the story that after Jehu killed Ahaziah of Judah, this was a king who unfortunately walked in the wicked ways of Ahab. You remember Ahab and Jezebel, right? And his mother, it talks about that his mother actually encouraged this sort of behavior at Atalia. And after the death of her son Jehu, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family. Nice lady, right? She wanted to wipe out everybody that might be a threat to her. And it was then that Jehosheba, the wife of the high priest, Jehoiada, took the child Joash, and he was about a year old at this time, and they hid him in the temple for 6 years. So they fostered him for all that time, so that his aunt could murder him, basically. So in effect, they became Joash's foster parents. And we read in 2 Kings 12:2 that their influence on Joash was significant. Here's what it says. It says, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada the priest instructed him. He became king, Joash, at the age of 7. And one of the reforms that he put into action, although they didn't do it right away and he had to continually stay on it, but they were to collect money to restore the temple of the Lord. And one cannot help but think that this emphasis came from his foster parents. Amen? That because that was their desire and what they wanted to do, and they had dedicated their life to the Lord, that had the influence on the child. Unfortunately, and this I thought of a couple people in particular, which I won't mention names, but unfortunately, after the foster father's death, King Joash didn't do what was right. He instead listened to the officials of Judah and actually turned away from the Lord. And it says in 2 Chronicles 24 that they abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and worshiped Asherah poles and idols. And it turns out at the end of this story of this life of Joash that the high priest that raised him had a son, Zechariah. And Zechariah came to him and told him and the people, you need to repent. And instead of repenting, it was by King Joash's order that they were put to death. So the moral of the story is no matter what type of fostering you get early in life, at some time you have to pick it up and make it your own, whether you have your own parents or whatever it is. He was responsible for his actions. And as Zechariah was dying, he prophesied that God would count this against him, and that's the name of that story. That's the first one. The second one is a very, very familiar story. Eli the priest fosters little Samuel, and we all love that story, right? You remember the story, Hannah was barren, that was until 1 year, which they did every year. They went up to worship the Lord and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. And Eli the priest was there with his two sons. Turns out his two sons were despicable despot sort of type characters. But he overhears Hannah praying, but she's mouthing it, but he doesn't hear it clearly, and he thinks she's drunk. Remember the story? And she says, oh, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just grieving because I'm barren. Well, she didn't tell him he's barren at the time. But he said, well, here's what he said. He responded to that. He said, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And we learned from previous verses that what she was praying for is that the Lord would give her a son. And that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate the son to the Lord's work, to the Lord for the rest of his life. And so she made this with a vow. As it turns out, she gives birth to Samuel. And we read that once the child was weaned, she took him to Eli and said, here, he's yours to raise. So in a sense, Eli became a foster parent to Samuel. And we know the story about the Lord speaking to Samuel in the middle of the night and Eli saying, you know, next time he answers, you know, do this, that, and the other. But the point is that Eli became his foster child. He became his foster dad. And it wasn't that the mother abandoned him. If you read the story, yearly she would make him a new garment and she would bring it to him. But he lived under the tutelage of Eli as his foster dad. So, Samuel turns out to be a tremendous man of God. Amen. You know the story. He was respected by all the people. And it says that when he died, all Israel mourned his death. And again, I have to think that part of the legacy of this man had to do with Eli's foster care and influence on him. The third example is Joseph, the husband of Mary. I mean, really, he was a foster dad. That was not his child. And we don't read a lot about Joseph's influence on Jesus late in life. Some people think that maybe he had passed away. I don't know. Scripture's sort of silent on that. But we know that Jesus continued in the trade of his dad. When they referred to him, he said that he was the son of the carpenter Joseph. And we know that Joseph continued in that trade. And so, but we do know very early in the life of both Mary and Joseph, Joseph took them and fled to Egypt. Remember that? I mean, he acted as a father would act for his own child. He took him and he fled into Egypt to keep him from King Herod's murderous rage. And I have to think that no doubt, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, right? I mean, I know he's the Son of God, but there was this growing process, okay? And I have to think that Joseph, no doubt, he provided for Jesus. He nurtured him. And he also probably taught and helped direct his life for the glory of God. I mean, we get this idea that Jesus came out of the womb and, you know, he knew everything that needed to be known. But he was a little child. So I think Joseph fostered his life for the glory of God and for the purposes of God. The fourth one is the Lord God adopts us. Amen? That's the language that the scripture uses. And all of us who are believers in Christ have been adopted into God's family. Look, as good or bad as our biological parents are, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, a new eternal parenting commences. And boy, what a father. We sang the song, you're a good, good father. Because of who you are, it makes me what I am. And so, we read in Ephesians 1:3-6. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters, okay, through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We also read in John, Gospel of John, about this, concerning adoption. Yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And you know, to those that he has adopted, to those that come under his care, and you know, we're going to honor some people in our congregation today that do a wonderful job of never leaving or forsaking these kids that come into their homes. I told you that, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a lady who does this, and I takes in foster kids after they age out of the foster care program. And I said, well, you know, you need to come, and you know, you need to bring your kids. And yeah, I hate to say it, but she did not have a good report. She says, the kids that I have, it seems like the parents, foster parents, don't care about them once they reach a certain age. But we have this promise that God will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. And that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that one day will resurrect our bodies into new and glorious bodies and unite them with our eternal spirit forever. I leave you with this word of encouragement before I have Tish come up. But it's from Romans 8, 15 through 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption. Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's a transliteration for a daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness to our spirit that we are children of God.